My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Praise Jesus this morning, that once we're his, we're always his.
Without guilt or pain, so oft abandoned by our transgressions. If such a thing as grace exists, grace was made for times like this. There are no strangers, there are no and find affection. Come all ye weary, come and lay down your head. Come ye unworthy, you are my brother. If such a thing as grace exists, grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers.
Hallelujah, there are no orphans. I finally was able to get some study notes out here for you to have. I'd like to just start today by saying thank you again for allowing me to speak, and just for just y'all's goodness to me, your encouragement to me. It's been a blessing to be able to do this series and to be able to speak on spiritual gifts and to be able to speak from the Word of God. It's been amazing because I've really had a chance to just watch the Holy Spirit work. I've really had a chance to just see God do His work through me, through you. It's just been a blessing to just see the hand of God move over the past several weeks, just in a way that I've never seen before. And it's kind of hilarious at the same time, because just as much as I've been seeing God move, I've been watching Satan's work as well. I mean, it seems like every time I try to get up here and speak, but before every single message, the week before every single message, is the devil's done his absolute best to get me distracted, to get me to where I, you know, is having a hard time studying, things like that. I mean, even last night, man, you know, woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, my smoke detector started chirping. And it started chirping, I mean, for like the next hour or two, and I just thought, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You know, and it's just, I mean, it has to be just the devil getting in that thing, you know, and just trying to cause these problems and get me distracted and get me to, you know, fall away from him and things like that, just to, you know, to disrupt the Holy Spirit working in me and through me. But anyway, I appreciate your prayers. And I appreciate the encouragement. God's been good. He's been good through this series. Even just the response from you has been a blessing. You know, just watching God do His work in and through you. The feedback that I've gotten from these messages has been some that I've never experienced in my preaching ministry before. I've never seen people grasp the Word of God like what I've seen through the series. And what really makes it so wonderful is that it's not me. It's not me speaking to you that's making you grasp it. It's the Holy Spirit working through me and through my gift to your heart. That's the Holy Spirit working. That's the Holy Spirit as He illuminates His Scripture and as He teaches us from His Word. That's what makes it so much fun to do this, you know, to be able to stand and to preach and to be obedient to Him and His words, just being able to watch God do His thing, you know, if we're obedient to Him. It absolutely has nothing to do with me whatsoever. It's Him doing His work. I'd like to look at the study notes I just handed you for a second as we briefly review and quickly go over what we've covered so far. Here we have why spiritual gifts are important. Paul says that we can't be ignorant of our spiritual gifts. We need to understand spiritual gifts and what they're for and why we use them. Spiritual gifts is that element that determines and provides our function in the body of Christ. The Lord gave me this title, Christ's Anatomy, for the very specific reason for us to be able to understand and grasp the concept that we are the anatomy of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Him. He is our head and we are His body. Okay, we make up the different functions in the body. And spiritual gifts is that element that determines and provides that function. Okay, coming down to what spiritual gifts are and what they are not talents, they are not learned skills, they are not places of service, it is not an office, okay? Pastor, teacher is not it's the gift, okay? We're talking about the gift today, we're not talking about the actual office, okay? Gifts are not specific age group ministries. They are not the fruits of the Spirit. And I added this one in here. Every message I add in another one of what spiritual gifts are not. This is a new one, okay? Spiritual gifts are not commands, okay? A spiritual gift is not a command. There is the gift of evangelism, and then there's the command to evangelize. We are all supposed to spread the gospel. We are all supposed to share Jesus with others. It is the command that we go to all nations and preach the gospel, okay? But some have the gift of evangelism and some do not. We'll get into that more here in just a little bit, okay? But gifts are the abilities given by the Holy Spirit to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay, that's what Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 4. When do we receive our spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 says, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, thus placing us into the body of Christ. Okay. If we are placed into the body of Christ at salvation, then we must have function as one of the members of the body. All right. And then if you go to, and it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the anatomy of the body is not made of just one member, but of many members. And then Paul goes through that. So we are all to be function, have function in the body. We are all to be involved in the work of the ministry. It is not just one person. Do not say, because I am not the pastor, I am not of the body, because we are all still part of the body, you know, whether we like it or not, we're all members of the body. We're all to be, to have function. If we choose to remain ignorant of our gifts and we take part in the rise of the couch potatoes and bench warmers, then Christ's body becomes a paraplegic, living the spiritual life off of spiritual welfare, okay? Christ expects for us to thrive in our walk with God, which gifts allow us to do, not just simply to get by in our walk with God, okay? So that kind of brings us up to where we are today, okay? Today I want to talk about sign gifts, the terror of spiritual gifts, okay? And the reason I chose this title for this area of discussion today is because spiritual gifts terrify people. This topic just absolutely terrifies people. You know, you have some people who love spiritual gifts and they go overboard with it. You know, they get so excited and everything, and spiritual gifts, yeah, you know, they get excited with it. Then you have the other side who people are terrified of spiritual gifts and, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, they get, you know, it just rips them out of their frame because they don't understand it, okay? And so what I want to talk about is sign gifts, the terror of spiritual gifts, and explain the purpose of these gifts, all right? Sign gifts were very real and did exist, but understand the reason for their existence. Understand the reason for their existence. Sign gifts are real, okay? I don't believe they exist today, but the Scripture repeatedly talks about them. So, what is this? What are these sign gifts? We have to understand the reason we had them. All right, let me put this down so I don't get distracted. Sign gifts were very real. Okay, what we need to ask is, what was the purpose of these gifts? And why are they no longer necessary? All right. Well, sign gifts were given to the early church to reveal special revelation. This was the main purpose of sign gifts. Whenever you think about prophecy, when you think about tongues, when you think about miracles, healing, knowledge, wisdom, all of these are different sign gifts, apostleship, okay? All of these gifts were spiritual gifts given to a believer at the moment of salvation in the early church. And the reason why people received this gift in the early church was to reveal special revelation. They did not have the Holy Spirit, okay? They had the Holy Spirit. I completely lost my train of thought. Is that a smoke detector last night? I'm telling you. They did not have the Word of God. They didn't have the New Testament. That's what I was trying to say. They had the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the New Testament. That's what I tried to say. Okay, so just forget I said that. Okay. When you're looking in the early church, okay, they did not have the complete New Testament. Paul was still writing. John was still writing. James was still writing. All these authors had not completed the New Testament. So instead of having the full canon of Scripture, like we do, see, we can just come to the Word of God and we can read it and we can study it and we can get the revelation from God to us and we can know what He wants us to know from the Word of God. They didn't have this in the early church. So what God did was He gave them the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, all these sign gifts to reveal Scripture. Okay, and so whenever they had church services and things like this, they had prophets that stood up and spoke and prophesied the Word of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that, you know, there was two or three prophets present, you know, and whenever the Lord would give them a message, one would stand up and the other two would weigh the message and to make sure that he was speaking from God. And then they would have, you know, they would kind of take turns as depending on which one God was giving the message to. And they would stand up and speak, and then the other two would weigh the message. It says of spiritual gifts. These gifts were not used out of excitement, okay? These gifts were controlled abilities. Okay, think of the sign gifts as controlled abilities. See, a lot of times we think of the sign gifts about, you know, getting excited, getting full of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophesying and doing these types of things. That's not exactly what happened. These were controlled gifts, just like the gift of preaching and teaching is a controlled gift. The gift of evangelism is a controlled gift. The gift of serving, you have to actually use that gift. You have to willingly use that gift. Does that make sense? And so that's the same thing that happened then. When the Holy Spirit gave them revelation, the prophet would stand up and he would speak. Whenever somebody couldn't just stand up and just randomly start speaking in tongues. In fact, that's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13 and 14, was because the people were abusing the gifts. People would just start getting up and speaking and doing all this kind of stuff. And Paul says, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, this place is so chaotic. You know, God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. And so he says, you know, whenever you're having all these people stand up and speak in tongues, you can't understand what in the world's going on. And so what he says is that, you know, have two people in a service, in a single service, can stand up to speak. At the most, three. He says, and then you also need to make sure you have someone to interpret. If you don't have an interpreter, then it doesn't do the body any good. He says that these gifts were used for the edification and the building up of the body. So whenever these people, they had the Old Testament, but they needed these sign gifts to reveal New Testament Scripture. See, and what we have to understand is that the people in this early church, they were really struggling because who were the first people saved? Who were the first people in the church? Jews. Yeah. I mean, these were Jews who were first coming into the church. The church started in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish thing. And so all these people were gathered here on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit says, this is the time for me to start my church. And so, and then all these people, and see, and here's another thing that we have to understand. Whenever all these Jews were gathered on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, these were not just Hebrew-speaking people. These were not just Greek-speaking people. These people had different languages and dialects from all over the place. They would come from all over and come to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And so they all spoke different languages. And so whenever the Holy Spirit came and everybody started speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they started speaking languages. It was not some heavenly language. It wasn't some language that only God could understand. These were literal languages. They were speaking, I doubt they were speaking English, but, you know, just like English is a language, Spanish, Dutch, you know, Greek, Hebrew, you know, all these different languages and dialects they were speaking so that the people could understand the Word of God. So that the people could understand the revelation from God. The people had, even at this time, still did not understand the concept of the church. They were still living under the law. And see, and that's why as you read through the book of Romans and through different books like that, Paul writes to these Jewish Christians to try to help teach them that, look, you know, we're not under the law anymore. We don't have to live by the Mosaic law anymore. We live under grace. And he was trying to explain to them what the church is and what the church meant. So that was the whole point of spiritual gifts. They were controlled abilities used to present scripture and special revelation to the people because they did not have the New Testament. Okay, does that make sense? Everybody picking up what I'm throwing out? Okay. All right. See, did I cover everything here? Oh, one other point that I want to make here. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, something else we have to understand about tongues is that tongues were given for lost Jews. Okay? This is another reason why we can't or shouldn't be using tongues today. Because we don't have any lost Jews here. All right? So that was the point. First, Paul says and tells them the point of tongues, which is the lowest of the gifts, he says, is for unsaved Jews. Unsaved Jews. Because these people were trying, you know, still living under the law, and what would happen is they would speak in tongues, and this would be a sign to them of what was going on, of the true gospel. All right. All right, and then this last point here. Now we have the complete canon of Scripture, aka the Bible, which is the complete revelation from God to us. Therefore, we no longer require the sign gifts. All right. So we no longer have these sign gifts because we have the complete Word of God. The purpose of these sign gifts were to reveal Scripture. Now the Word of God is complete, so we don't need any more revelation. God has given us all the revelation we need right here. So anything we need to know about God, He's given it to us. So we don't need tongues anymore because we already have everything He needs right here. We don't have prophets anymore because He's already revealed everything. You see what I'm saying? So, we have the complete Word of God, so there is no longer the need for sign gifts. All right. Now, let's move on to what gifts can we receive. What gifts can we receive? All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now we're getting into the good stuff because I wanted to quickly go over sign gifts and what they were and why they were used, why we don't have them anymore, go over all that kind of stuff so that we can get into the gifts that we do have today. Okay, and I want to go through each of these one by one and discuss them a little bit so that each of us know what gifts we could possibly have. I want you to go through this list in your own personal life and try to determine what gifts that you have. Because based on the gift that you have is how you should function in the church, in our church body. You know, for example, have you ever heard someone, we'll get into this more after a while whenever we get to this gift, but have you ever heard a teacher stand up and teach and they were dry as dust? And you just kind of want to poke your finger in your eye, you know, because it is so horrible. You know, it's like, you know, you don't have the gift of teaching. Sit down, you know. Go stack some chairs, you know. Something like that. You know, well, that's, you know, that person shouldn't be teaching. You know, they don't have the gift. I mean, we're thankful that they're willing to serve in the body, but serve somewhere else, please. You know? Okay. So that's why I want to go through these gifts individually so that we can look at what they are, what they mean. Do I have this gift? Do I need to hide it under a bushel? You know, just kind of depend on what gifts we do have. I want us to be able to discover what we truly have. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 12. Let's start in about verse 3. Paul says here, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Okay, Paul wants us to understand that the abilities that we have is not from us. If we are a fantastic preacher, well, that's great, but it's not from us. You know, if you're a fantastic teacher, if you're a fantastic servant, you know, whatever it is your gift is and however it is that you operate, well, it's great that you're good at it, but it doesn't come from you. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God and through His power. See, that's why I was saying in the beginning why it's such a blessing that, you know, all this has been going so well, and because, you know, just the blessing that teaching through this has been to me. The reason why it's such a blessing is because it has nothing to do with me. It's being able to just sit back and watch the work of God. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, okay? Don't boast in yourself. It has nothing to do with you. It's all about God. "But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." All right, so Paul just reiterates here to the Romans that we all have different functions. Each one of us is distinct and should operate distinct of one another, but we are all one body. You know, just like your human body, no one part of your body is the same as another. You know, even your fingers, who all look the same, they all function independently of one another. Okay? You can do different things based on which fingers you use. You know, does that make sense? So we are all distinct. Okay? We are all different, but we all make up one body, the same body. And we're all supposed to function in this body. So let's go on here and look at these different gifts that we can possibly have. Number one, administration. Administration. This literally means to steer a ship, This is the ability to rule and lead in the church, as well as organize and coordinate people and events to meet the objectives and goals of the church. All right? It says here that it literally means to steer a ship. This is the ability to, as you lead a body of believers, to be able to steer in the direction it goes. I do not have this gift. I have to couple myself with somebody who does have this gift. See, I am a visionary. I am the type of person, I am the type of leader, and you know, with my gift of pastor, shepherd, I am the type who I can see, you know, this is what the Word of God says, this is what we're going to do. What I need is somebody with the gift of administration that's going to say, all right, that's great, how are we going to get there? And they are going to be the person who will come alongside me and say, all right, the Word of God says this, I hear you. This is where we're going to be, this is where we're going to end up, I hear you. But why don't we take step number one, step number two, and step number three to get there? These steps will help us get there. All right, so they kind of will help me lay out that plan to get us where we have to be. Eldership, all this kind of stuff that's been going on is a great example. All right, Pastor, do you have the gift of administration? Do you know? Well, the reason why I say this is because let's just pretend you don't. Okay. Let's just pretend you don't. Pastor Bruce says, we need to do eldership. This is what the Word of God says, and this is what, you know, and so he preached for the past 5 years or so, you know. Why is that funny? You know, this is the direction we need to go. You know, last summer, he spent all summer preaching messages on it. He recapped it for us, you know, a couple months ago. I mean, it is clear that this is his vision. This is where we need to go. This is where we need to be. Okay, but pretending he doesn't have the gift of administration, he needs somebody to come alongside him and say, all right, that's great, but we've never done this before. So how do you plan on getting us there? You know, we can see that, you know, this is where we need to be someday, but how do you go from point A to point B? Okay? So what he needs is somebody with the gift of administration to come alongside him and say, you know, Pastor Bruce is using his gift of pastor, shepherd, and teaching to say, to teach us all that this is where we need to be. Well, this person says, all right, here's the steps that we're going to need to take in order to get there. Pastor Bruce is, you know, this is one of the areas that he has taught me, you know, in leadership, is that, you know, whenever you're steering a big ship, you know, you can't just jerk it real quick and, you know, and just turn the ship real quick. You're going to tear the ship all to pieces, you know. Well, that's the same way it is whenever you're leading people. You know, you can't just steer them real quick. You have to slowly take steps and turn us very slowly to get us in the direction that the Lord's leading us in. Okay? Well, this gift of administration is what it means to steer a ship, to take us in those simple steps to get us to that point where we need to be. All right? So, this is an area that I have to couple myself with, okay? Because I do not have this gift. But that's okay. I don't feel bad because I don't have that gift. That's a blessing, because if I had both gifts, then somebody else would be out of a job, so to speak. Okay? Next one. Evangelism, literally meaning proclaiming the good news. Proclaiming the good news. The gift includes a special burden for lost souls, the ability to proclaim the gospel message with exceptional clarity, and it involves frequent responses to the gospel message. Whether or not one has the gift of evangelism, all believers are to be witnesses. Now, this is one of those areas that we have to understand. This is the gift, not the command. If you don't have the gift of evangelism, this does not excuse us, because I don't have it either. I do not have this gift. But this does not excuse us from not proclaiming the gospel. We are still responsible to go and to proclaim the gospel. The only difference is that, you know, maybe we're not going to have as much responses to the gospel message. You know, I can go along somebody, you know, a lost person, and I can share with them the gospel message. I can say everything to them, you know, that's right and biblical and everything that they need to know to accept Jesus, and they may not accept Jesus. Somebody with the gift of evangelism can come right along next to me and say the exact same thing, and they'll respond to him. They'll respond to one, but not the other. The difference is that person has the gift. They, for some reason, God gives them the ability to produce the gospel in such a clear fashion, such an understandable way, that it helps people understand it and make that response to the gospel. Does that make sense? So, do not feel discouraged if you don't have this gift, all right? Don't feel discouraged if you don't have those frequent responses to the gospel message. See, because the point is, it's not about us. It's not about what we can produce. The results aren't up to us. The thing with us is that we are to be obedient. If you have the gift of evangelism, you're to be obedient to that gift, and you're supposed to go. If you don't have the gift, we're still supposed to go, but just understand that it's not your responsibility to win souls. That's God's job. God's the one responsible for winning souls. We're to take the message to them, all right? But the one with the gift, they are going to have that extra burden for lost souls. They're going to have that desire, more depth to their desire to see souls saved. This person is going to have the ability to proclaim the gospel message with much more clarity, okay? All right, so that's the gift of evangelism. The next one, exhortation. How are we doing on time? I'll do this one, and then we'll finish the rest next time, okay? Exhortation literally means called alongside to help. Called alongside to help. This involves the ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish people, often coupled with teaching. The exhorter is one who has the ability to appeal to the will of the individual to get him to act. All right, let me read that again. The exhorter is one who has the ability to appeal to the will of the individual to get him to act. Someone who encourages you in such a way that you want to strive to be better at something. Have you ever had that person in your life? Have you ever had that person that, you know, that they'll come up to you and they'll encourage you and they'll exhort you to do one thing or another? You do something well and they're, you know, they encourage you and good job, you know, I appreciate you, you know, and all that kind of good stuff. And then, you know, whenever you're doing something wrong, they'll come alongside you and, you know, tell you, you know, this ain't right, you know, and they'll encourage you to do better. And whenever they speak to you, you don't necessarily take offense to it, but you're like, yeah, I do need to do better, you know. And they have a way of appealing to your will, to where you want to do better, to where you want to you want to do whatever it is that they're encouraging you to do. And whenever you do something and they encourage you, you want to do that thing that much better than what you did before. You know, this is that type of person with the gift of exhortation. It's simply, you know, the one who exhorts, the one who encourages, okay? Someone who is great at encouraging. What I'm going to do, let me flip through these real quick. We're going to stop right there. But what I'll do is next week I will finish these. And we will get to how to discover your gifts. And then if we get through all of that and we have some time left over, I would like to cover questions, okay? So here's my email address. You can send me, email me questions that you've had through as we've gone through the study of spiritual gifts. If we have time left over next week, I'd like to cover different questions that you have because I want to make sure that everyone is able to figure out what your gifts are so that if you haven't already, so that we can properly function in the body and properly do the work of the ministry. Sound good? All right. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then I'll have Pastor Bruce come. Thank you, Father, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for all of your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you for just how good you are to us. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the way that you teach us and you instruct us. Lord, I just pray that, God, Lord, you just continue to help us, Lord, as we continue with this study, Father, Lord. And, Lord, help us to understand exactly what our gifts are. Father, Lord, for those who do know what their gifts are, I pray that you would just help us to hone those gifts, Lord, to continue to mature in them and grow in them, Lord, so that we can effectively serve you. Father, Lord, you have not called one single Christian to just sit on the bench and watch everybody else work. Father, Lord, you've called every single believer to be involved in the work of the ministry. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.